Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
500,720,970,000
of you. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 877 new COVID cases yesterday. COVID confirmations anyway. 273 of those were here in Lagos. So while the nationwide numbers were down from a week ago, the Lagos numbers are up. I beg, Lagos, take all the precautions you can. Limit your movement outside. Wear a mask as often as you can. Give gap. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands. And Hard Facts is another place where you can tune in to get all your amazing, amazing stories. Let's bring you Big Three Global Edition. We'll talk about the people of Myanmar going into the streets to protest the coup. Then let's talk about different Africans who got recognition on the global stage this week. And then we'll talk about tech companies and governments butting heads this week. After that, as usual for Friday, we'll bring you Public Square with Agogo Obo. We'll wrap up the show with music and moments with Ifeanyi and Sam. There's news updates coming your way at the top of every hour. But right now, it's time for the Big Three Global Edition.
The Big Three Global Edition on Hard Facts.
Can protests at home and pressure abroad reverse the Myanmar coup? Which African ran the world better this week? Are the tech giants becoming too big for governments to regulate? This is Big Three Global Edition. Let's get into the stories. As you know, every Friday we let Nigeria rest for a bit. We look at stories in other parts of the world, the biggest stories in the entire world. Sometimes, though, the big stories are still Nigerian stories or they affect Nigeria. But our story today doesn't. No matter how similar it seems to our politics here, it doesn't affect Nigeria. Our first story is the situation in Myanmar. 2 weeks ago, I told you about the coup there and how the former civilian leadership has been locked up. Now, the citizens of Myanmar are rising up to resist the coup. They've been protesting all over the country, including major cities like Yangon. Now, when the protests started, the military cracked down hard. They were shooting at unarmed protesters. Some protesters have been reported dead. Essentially, the army banned protesting. The protesters have found a way around that problem, though. What they do now is they get in their cars, they go on major roads and highways, and they stop. Basically, the protesters in Myanmar are protesting by blocking traffic. But the protesters won't stay in their cars forever. We're hearing that they're also planning mega rallies to demand that the government steps down immediately. So even though they've been shot at, even though a lot of them have been killed, they are saying that they are not running away. They just paused for a bit to regroup and come back louder than ever. And it seems the international community is hearing their voice because more and more countries are asking the military to step aside. We're hearing more and more of a consensus about sanctions. Now, whenever sanctions come up, some people will say sanctions affect the common man. They affect the common people who did nothing wrong. But more and more these days, countries are developing new types of sanctions that target individuals, not economies. So, for example, Human Rights Watch has published a 9-page guide document for countries that want to put sanctions on the coup plotters. Basically, Human Rights Watch has identified companies that belong to the members of the army and all the countries that these companies do businesses in. So HRW, that's Human Rights Watch, is telling the world, if you want to help sanction the military regime, all you need to do is penalize these companies. These are the companies the generals make their money from. And I want to know what you think about that. Do you think these types of targeted sanctions that go for the livelihood and assets of government officials can work? Also, I want to know what you think about this sit-in-your-car protests. Do you think that disrupting traffic and bringing big cities like Yangon to its feet can put pressure on the military? What do you think about the protesters? After getting shot, after watching their comrades die, coming back to protest again. What do you think about that? 0700-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. Our second number is 01465-7190. That number is for women only. 01465-7190 for women only. But for the men, 0700-993-993-993. I just brought you the story of the situation in Myanmar. And I'm curious what you think about the targeted sanctions that will go for the livelihood and assets of government officials. Do you think they can work? What do you think about the sit-in-your-car protests? Do you think disrupting traffic and bringing cities like big cities like Yangon to a halt can put pressure on the military? And what do you think about the protesters after getting shot, after watching their comrades die, coming back to protest again? 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Kelvin.
Welcome, Kelvin. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for having me. A fortnight ago, I told you that the coup will not stand.
Yeah, you did.
And it's getting clearer day by day. The world has frowned against this kind of style. It won't stand. A lot of the form of protest that you know, that will tell you that protests have different kind of forms. There are no one style of protest. So people should learn. Secondly, I also like another style of sanctions that has been placed. When I had Joe Biden also talking about targeting those involved and their families in terms of sanction. Mm-hmm. I was so excited.
Okay.
Because we cannot punish one person, the whole country, because of some people that have decided to progress in error. So I love the targeted sanctions, and it's going to make them frustrate their efforts. In no time, just watch what I'm saying. They will give up. They will give up in no time.
All right, Kevin.
So, look what has happened. What is watching. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3.
Hello.
What's your name, sir?
Jesse Lopeye.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
that's what we need in Nigeria. In fact, that's too. People should just park. You understand what they are doing right now? Just enter, park their cars there, and leave. And even if they are shooting at people, people over there are still protesting. I commend them. Do you know that it is through this station I heard that country for the first time? I've never heard of that of the name of the country before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was surprised. So I went to read about them, and I must commend them. They are so strong. They still continued. The military men are going to leave very soon.
Okay.
Very, very soon.
Right,
and that's what the other... I don't understand why those people are not sanctioning Nigerian government also by going for their accounts. Those armed robbers in Nigeria, politicians, keeping money over there. That's what they should be doing to politicians in Nigeria also.
Just look weird. Thank you very much for calling. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Godwin.
Godwin, welcome.
Yeah, from Ijai.
All right, good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, good to have you on the show today. We love first-time callers.
I believe I'm talking to Sandra.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Just like the other caller said, this kind of sanction should be given also in Nigeria.
Okay.
Especially this are political. You know, they are speaking us of granted for so long, I'm telling you. You know, people are suffering now. So I believe that this kind of sanction should also be meted to people, especially these our government officials. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but, Sandra, can I quickly say something?
Yes, please.
Yeah. You see, that Lekki protest, I didn't know that our youth can be this courageous. I'm telling you, I for one, I used to think that our youth are lazy, they can't do anything. But not Lekki protest made me to have a change of heart about our youth. I am in my early 40s now. But this should be something I will never forget. Although I did not participate in the protest, but I like what they did. Because if you look at it, it brought the government slightly to its feet.
Okay.
And this they will never forget it. So this kind of sanction is what we need. Don't sanction the whole country because of some certain unscrupulous element. Sanction the main people.
All right.
It's nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling us today. If you just tuned in, our first story is the situation in Myanmar. 2 weeks ago, I told you about the coup there and how the former civilian leadership has been locked up. The citizens of Myanmar are rising to resist the coup. They've been protesting all over the country, including major cities like Yangon. When the protest started, the military cracked down hard. They were shooting at unarmed protesters. Some protesters have been reported dead even. The army banned protesting, essentially. And the protesters found a way around it. What they do now is get in their cars, go on major roads, major highways, stop their cars. They're basically protesting by blocking traffic. Now, of course, they're not going to stay in their cars forever. We're hearing that they're also planning mega rallies to demand that the government steps down immediately. So even though they've been shot at, even though a lot of them have been killed, they're saying that they're not running away. They paused to regroup and they're coming back louder than ever. And the international community is watching. More and more voices are talking about sanctions. Human Rights Watch published a 9-page guide document for countries that want to put sanctions on the coup plotters. Because these days, more and more countries are finding a way to sanction the individuals instead of the economies of the countries that those individuals come from. So what Human Rights Watch did was identify the businesses of the members of the army who were indicted or who were part of the coup, who were involved in the coup. So found their businesses in their country, their businesses in other countries of the world. Human Rights Watch compiled a list and said to the countries that want to sanction them, if you want to help sanction the military regime, all you need to do is penalize these companies. This is where they make their money from. And so the first question I'm asking on the show today is what you think about that. Do you think that these types of targeted sanctions that go for the livelihood, the assets of government officials can work? Does it make you a bit more comfortable when you hear about sanctions? Because I know that people hear sanctions and they are like, I beg, sanctions are extreme. The entire country suffers. Look at Zimbabwe. Look at North Korea. But do you feel a bit more at ease when you hear about sanctions targeted at government officials? Do you think those can work? And what do you think about this sit-in-your-car protest? Do you think that disrupting traffic in big cities like Yangon could put pressure on the military to step down? Fridays, we take a look at stories from other parts of the world. We leave Nigeria to rest for a bit. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 18 minutes past 3. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. You can also share your thoughts via WhatsApp 080-959-75805. And we have a number for women, 01465-7190. Ufoma is on the line. Ufoma is in Magodo. Hello, Ufoma. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Yes.
I've been following the story like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's like the Myanmar country have covered in the hand of the military too much.
Okay.
Yes, we did sanction. Let them target most of the key people in this coup plot, Gongo. They target the source of their income in the country, across the country. You know, it is a one step. Maybe the military will step down.
Okay.
And also, I want to thank God for the people of the country with their both steps, because if they allow the military to sustain the power, the country will still be dictated by the military. So with this step, and with the international, with support of international on the country, I hope that the military will say that privation, the woman itself will return back to power.
Ufoma, thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Anthony is on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well.
Yeah, please, I just want to confirm. This country called Myanmar, I think it was former Burma, Abby?
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to confirm.
Okay. Okay. Next time, do a Google search. 0700-993-993-993. And the number for women is 01465-7190. We've got Ben on the line. Hello, Ben. Hello,
sorry?
Ben.
Yes.
Oh, welcome. Go ahead. You're live on the show now. You're talking to Sandra now.
Okay. You ask a question. Over there now, they have been shot and they went ahead to protest.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, in Nigeria here, especially in the southern part of Nigeria, you see, when we are shot, we forget about the protest. But I remember when in Katsina State, when they abducted those children, the protesters in the north said, they are going to protest, and that even though they are shooting them, they will go ahead and protest.
Okay.
But fortunately, they negotiated and they came to the deal.
Okay.
But here in the South, we can't do that. They threaten us with shooting, and we are afraid of it. Look at there. They shoot them, and they are still going. But here, if they shoot us, we can't go. We are all afraid, and that's intimidation, and we are all afraid because of what? In the northern part of Nigeria, it cannot happen. You shoot them, they will keep going. But in the southern part of Nigeria, if you shoot them, everybody's lit.
So are you saying that Southerners feared?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We Southerners, we are afraid. In the north, they are not afraid.
But isn't that a valid emotion? Isn't the fear of death a valid emotion?
Okay. You said it's valid. What happened in the other part of the world? What do you call it? Where the coup protests are?
Myanmar.
They are shooting them and they are still going. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
What they are doing there, the northern part of Nigeria, the top of Nigeria will do the same thing. But the top of Nigeria cannot do it. So we value our life more than honor and peace. And justice. What are you saying?
So you're saying that we shouldn't value our lives more than peace and justice?
No, what we are saying is that we should stand our rights. We should not be intimidated. That is intimidation.
Okay. All right, Ben. Thank you for calling. Ben says, in the face of death, stand for your right. Fight for justice. Because other people in other parts of the world are doing it. Chima is in Atoro. Hello, Chima. Hi,
yeah.
Chima. Welcome. Go ahead.
I'm fine. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, did when they parked their cars, did thugs go supposed to destroy?
No.
Okay. You see, you know, when people are talking about Nigerians being, you know, we've been creative and innovative in our way of protest. We just understand that Nigeria is a very peculiar case. You know, when they are, and as far as I know, I didn't see them saying the North against the South, Igbos against the Yoruba, Hausas against this one and that one. So we should understand that Nigeria is a very peculiar case. And the innovation that people might want to think that work for that country, it might not work for Nigeria. I don't know, I might be wrong to say, but in my own opinion, I think the only thing the Nigerian government understands is violence. And to them, the present crop of people at the helm of affairs in Nigeria, they've been using, they believe it's violence, and they've been using that violence against us. So if we say we want peace, okay, using the NSAS protest or the Yardstick as a case study rather, you would notice that the people wanted peace, but the government officials didn't want peace. They matched it with violence.
Yeah, but that's the same thing that happened in Myanmar. The people don't want a coup, and the government officials have matched it with violence.
But now, the people are together. The unity is the force they have against the government. But here, there is no unity. With all of us in this country now, Sandra, during the NSAS protest, people were calling in to tell people to leave the road. But, you know, you did now. People were calling in to say, why would you block the road? This one, that one. Even up to now, some people don't believe that people were shot at the toll gate.
So for you, people have mind here. The problem is unity.
Unity, yes.
Chima, thank you for calling. We've got Maureen in Aja. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Good
I
to have you on the show.
About the sanctions. I like what the American government is doing, and I wish they could also do it here in Nigeria. They know our politicians. They know what they're doing. I want them to also sanction all their companies, all their investments. They should locate everything and punish them. We cannot continue to suffer. They know what our politicians are. They're corrupt, thieving politicians. So I don't want the way they're sanctioning individuals, I prefer it than sanctioning the countries and the poor people that are innocent to the suffering for the sins of the rich people. So the so-called rich people, you know what I mean? So I prefer them to really, like, you know, do the same thing to this country, because I think we need that. Our politicians need to be taught a lesson.
All right, Maureen, thank you for calling. 26 minutes past 3, Lagos. We need to take a quick break. But if you just joined into the show, Fridays, we step away from Nigeria. Hold on. All right, so I had spit go down the wrong place. Anyways, we'll take that break. We'll come back and then we'll move on to our second story. Lots of Africans were in the news for good reasons this week. I'll tell you about it. Don't go away.
I'm loving you strong.
Africans on the world stage. And for our second story, let's look at some of the big wins. The first may be an obvious one, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala finally being named World Trade Organization DG designate. I say finally because, man, it's coming months late. Under the normal plan, the announcement was supposed to have been made in October last year. But the US government insisting on not switching its support to NOI, even though every other country had done it, was the reason that it delayed. And since that decision had to be unanimous, basically the WTO had to remain on hold. But once Joe Biden replaced Donald Trump as US president, he switched support to her. And now she's been selected for the job. So NOI is the first African to head the WTO. But she isn't the only African being selected to head a global body for the first time. The World Bank just named Senegal's Macky Diop as the head as the new head of the International Finance Corporation, IFC. IFC is a branch of the World Bank. They specialize on loans and other financial services to the private sector worldwide. And Diop is the first African in that role. And then you have the Time magazine honoring NSAS activists. You know Time magazine now. They're one of the biggest publications in the world. And every year, they release a list called the Time 100 Next List. They describe it as a list of, quote, 100 rising stars who are shaping the future of business, entertainment, sports, politics, science, health, and more. And this year, on the list, are members of the Feminist Coalition who took part and helped provide services for the ENSAS protests. So you have FK Abudu, that's Feyikemi Abudu, Odunayo Eweniyi, and Damilola Odufuwa. By the way, Damilola Odufuwa will be one of the panelists at the first ever Glass Ceiling Convention next month. I'm really excited to bring that to you. From now on, every year, on the Sunday before International Women's Day, we're going to have GlassCon. And this year, we're talking about the blueprint for women to take political power in Nigeria. It's a virtual conference. It's 100% online. You can register online to attend. You can visit www.nigeriainfo.fm/register. Register there to attend this convention. So if you want to take part, that's all you need to do. Go there. But yes, one of the women from Feminist Coalition will be on the panel for this year's Glass Ceiling Convention. So yeah, back to the story. You've got three women from Feminist Co. on the Times list of the 100 most influential up-and-coming young people shaping the world. Amazing week for Africans, honestly. So those are our big winners out of Africa this week. I want to know who you think is the biggest winner amongst all of them. Do you think it's Okonjo Iweala of WTO or Diop at IFC? Or Eweniyi, Odufuwa, and Abudu on the Time 100 Next. 0700-993-993-993. You can still talk about the first story if you'd prefer to take a look at that story. On that story, I told you about the coup in Myanmar and the citizens of Myanmar rising up to resist that coup. Lots of callers relating it to protesting here in Nigeria, talking about all the reasons why, even though the citizens in Myanmar are being shot at, being killed, they continue to go out to ask for the military regime to step down and to allow the civilian, elected civilian administration take over power. Do you think that disrupting traffic and bringing big cities to their feet could put pressure on the military? Because that's what they're doing. They're sitting in their cars and blocking traffic. What do you even think about that kind of traffic, of that kind of protest? A sit in your car type of protest. What do you think about that? And what do you think about protesters after getting shot, after watching their friends die, their comrades die, coming back to protest again? I also told you during the first story that the world is looking at sanctions that target the livelihood and assets of government officials. Do you think that those kinds of sanctions can work? We've got Peter on the line. Peter, thank you so much for calling us.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Yeah, Peter Monse from Shomolu.
Welcome, Peter.
Yeah, Sandra, I am very, very happy that the female folk that actually stood out during the ENSAS have been recognized. Mm. I think for me, that is a win for Nigerian ladies or Nigerian women. Because we have thought the government didn't do enough. A lot of people shed their blood. A lot of people are maimed for life. And Nigerian government pretended not to know, not to see, not to recognize. But for the fact that they are recognized by the Times of the World, I think for me, that is enough. But I just want to say they should go a little bit further from there to make sure that what is happening in Niamey is also happening to all those military officers, police officers that killed those ENSAS peaceful protesters. Their accounts should be frozen and their family, they should be punished and leave Nigerians alone. So that recognition is enough for me.
Peter, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate your phone call. We've got Rafiat on the line. We've not heard from Rafiat in a long time. Rafiat, welcome.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good. Welcome.
Definitely looking forward to the Glass Ceiling Con.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the ladies that made the Times. Okay. I mean, if you're on Twitter and you follow the Feminist Coalition and all the things they did during the ENSAS and how some people even try to make them become the villains, when you see them future in the Time Next 100, It's amazing. And when you look at how young they are, for example, you know, it gives you hope that, okay, I also can do something amazing as a young person and I would be recognized globally, even if my country has been a bit blind to it. Mm. So I'm happy about that. As for the sit in the car protest, mm-hmm. that is very ingenious, I must say.
Okay.
I didn't even see what you think of that. But how many of us have cars now? That's the problem.
We're sitting more away.
Have you seen the downfalls, for example? That's amazing. And I think I really love it because the essence of a protest is to inconvenience people to be forced to make a change. Mm. So if a protest is not inconveniencing anybody, you're not exactly sending any message. So I really love the idea of them being in the car. And as regards them watching people getting shot and going back to the field to fight, I just have to say I'm glad that their spirit is not broken. Because it takes an extra level of strength. But then again, as citizens, you get to a point where you're just like, see, I'm ready to die if this means that the other generations don't have to suffer what I've suffered. And I think that's what the people of this country are just saying. Mm. They're just like, you know what? Kill as many as you can kill. In as much as you're going to listen and you're going to make a change, we are ready to be here on the line. And I have to say kudos to them because that is one kind of strength that we don't really see come out of African countries. I'm really, really excited for that. Mm. As regards sanctions, it's amazing that now they're beginning to sanction individuals because usually they sanction countries and the people who don't even know anything about these things get to suffer. And these individuals somehow find their way out of these sanctions and meander their way. But now that they're targeting the people directly, I like it. Go after the people that really did the thing. Because if you do that, you blacklist those people. It sends a very strong message because people now know, oh, this person is the one who is the bad person. Mm. But you gloss over it and just say, oh, the whole of Nigeria is this one, the whole of Zimbabwe. That's not a good way to actually sanction because a lot of people are already suffering and you put a sanction and then you inflict more suffering. And the person who caused this thing finds their way to somewhere for some asylum or something or go on exile and they don't really suffer the brunt. So I really love that now the sanctions affect the people directly.
Rafia, thank you so much. Very rounded contribution from Rafia there. We've got Pat who says, Sandra, hands down, Gosio Konjiwala is the winner. That is no mean fit. The other ladies is just the liberal media pushing their agenda. All right, Pat. Thank you for your message. Sandra, please, I want to know something. Can you explain what our gain in Nigeria will be after Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala has become the president? I'm going to have to do a show about that, you know? We've got somebody else who says, protest is not going to change anything in Myanmar since China and Russia are going to block any move that the US and their allies bring on, for example. You've got Venezuela to take a look at as well. All right, Chris, thank you for your message. More messages coming in via WhatsApp. Good afternoon, Sandra. The kind of traffic blockage with protesters' vehicles in Myanmar, if Nigerian protesters try it, the government will send a pro-government protester that will either vandalize or set their vehicles on fire. Prince Bade Abimbolu from Gbagada says. We've got Tiwa from Songo. Okay, Tiwa says, I should park my car at the toll gate so that they'll set my car on fire the way they did in Abuja. Or have you forgotten that cars were set on fire in Abuja by thugs? Please, 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 please. It's not everywhere they used to do everything. Tiwa, thank you for your message. Sunny from Kirikiri says, Sandra, I commend the Myanmar citizens for their temerity. They are fighting for a cause they believe in. In Nigeria, apart from the NSAS protests, tribal and religious sentiments make us appear weak. But you know, even during the NSAS protests, for a while there, things like tribe and religion did not come up. Because remember, Fridays, they would do Jumat prayers at the toll when they were blocking the toll. And then on Sunday, there was a priest that came and conducted mass there, like a Catholic priest. They had Sunday mass there. And while some are praying, others are guarding them. That was happening during the protest. There was such a community during the protest, right? Until things went south, you know? It was good for a while before it went south. So perhaps, you know, things like tribe and religion, perhaps it's not such a, it's not as bad as we think. You know, it's not as It's not that as... I don't know how to say what I'm thinking, you know, but I'm going to figure out my thoughts out and then share it with you. 99.3, hello.
Yes, yeah, good afternoon.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, this is Ezekiel from Ajah.
All right, Ezekiel, welcome.
Yeah, the point remains that people have not come to think about what protest can do. That specifically is not really the end. But it is something that will start something. If you look at what happened in Germany over 20 years ago, as well as the American Revolution, it all started like protest. But the fact remains that, Sandra, go and mark it, I'm saying it today. You see, the one that will happen in this nation, so-called Nigeria, oh my God, it will be one of its kind in history of humanity. Because of the way we've been maltreated, the way we've been, it's beyond what man can speak. Let's wait and see. Thank you.
All right, Ezekiel. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. If you just tuned into the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I've brought you two stories so far. I told you about the protests in Myanmar, and I also told you about the Africans who were recognized on the global stage this week. Now, we'll take a quick break and bring you a message from the sponsors of our final story on today's Big Three Global Edition. Trust me, this is a story that you want to hear. And Zimvest brings you our third story on Big Three Global. This week, there were quite a few scuffles between different world governments and big tech. So let's take a look at some of them, shall we? Facebook has removed all Australian news outlets from its platform in retaliation against the new law there. Let me tell you what's happening there. Both the platforms and the news outlets make money online through adverts. And they usually have a sharing formula. So if my link is on your website and someone clicks on it, I'm going to ask you for a share of the ad revenue that comes from that visitor. But the Australian news sites are saying that when they put links to Facebook, which drive traffic to Facebook, they're not being given enough ad revenue. And so the Australian government stepped in to pass a law to force Facebook to share the money. And so as a warning, Facebook cut off all Australian newspapers and some government websites from the platform. The government has accused Facebook of, quote, unfriendly in Australia. Now, a lot of other Western governments have expressed support for Australia. Canada and France, for example. The USA has not spoken about it yet, and it's going to be interesting to hear what they eventually say. Because on the one hand, they must share the same concerns as the other governments, right? But on the other hand, Facebook is an American company, and so they probably may want to protect them abroad, you know? But at home, US lawmakers are talking about helping news outlets fight the platforms. They're drafting a law that would allow the news sites to negotiate with the platforms as a bloc. Right now in America, multiple businesses in the same industry cannot negotiate on the same side due to antitrust laws. But now the US Congress is thinking about relaxing antitrust to let news websites fight the big tech platforms like Facebook, Google, Twitter. And it's been very interesting to see how much power these tech companies have been able to flex on the economy. I mean, you have Facebook unfriending Australia, and it may have cost the country millions. It slowed down economic activity in some sectors. And for some analysts, this is a warning sign that at some point in the very near future, the platforms may become too big, too rich, too powerful, too ubiquitous for government to regulate. But it hasn't been all victory for big tech. You have Uber in the news, and Uber has lost a major court case in the UK this week. The Supreme Court upheld a decision that Uber must treat drivers like staff. If you're an Uber driver in Nigeria, I'm curious what you think about this story. Because what this means is that Uber drivers should get health insurance and other benefits. Now, a lot of you listening to me are very familiar with Uber's business model. They don't hire the drivers. They let anybody who wants to drive on the platform drive. So they say that the drivers are independent contractors and therefore Uber is not required to do anything for them like vacation or pension or health insurance. But in the UK now, they've said, nope, drivers are staff. Uber is responsible for them. And so now analysts are trying to figure out exactly what this will do to Uber's business model and its revenue. Because Uber realizes this is a company that relies on keeping its operating overheads very low. But now, at least in the UK, they're now going to have to pay every month for all these employment benefits. Now, I was about to say that this thing is going to eat into Uber's profits, but it's actually worse than that. Uber has no profits. Uber has not yet made a profit anywhere. They're still looking for a model that gives them a path to profitability. But if other countries take the same line as the UK, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Uber. It's very possible that Uber will never have a path to profits if they have human drivers, if they stay with human drivers. I don't know. What do you think? 0700-993-993-993. But before I take your calls, let's listen to the guys from Zim Investment because they're the kinds of people who tell you whether you should buy a stock at Uber. They're the people who tell you if the money you have can be used to invest in one portfolio or the other. They are, after all, asset managers. Am I right?
Yes, we are. Okay, so while most people were occupied with the global pandemic last year, 2020, despite all of that, seemed to be a remarkable year for investments. And now, this year, everyone seems to be looking to jump in on the next investment opportunity. So Zimvest, what we are, is a Securities and Exchange Commission licensed asset manager. We create access to investment products for every unique customer. With our savings and investment products, like I just mentioned, they are available in Naira and in USD, crafted with the best in market rates. So with Zimvest, you can enhance return on your investments just by investing in our dollar funds, by investing in our fixed income funds, and we can help cultivate a savings discipline with our Aspire and Wealthbox products.
How can people reach you? If people wanted to call you, how can they do that?
Okay, you need to visit www.zimvest.com.ng to get started, or email ask@zimvest.com.ng. You can also talk to our private wealth managers on 070-002-0020 or +234-12-801042.
Thank you very much. Let's come to the phone lines now. 0700-993-993-993. Tell me your thoughts on this particular story that we brought to you. What do you think about Facebook unfriending Australia? Do you think that big tech will soon be powerful, too powerful for individual governments to regulate? And what do you think about the Uber court judgment in the UK? 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Olumuyiwa.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Come on, join me.
After the show, I'll come.
A lot of things you have to raise. Let me discuss about the Facebook only.
Okay.
Why is it that Africa cannot have African Facebook? Why? Because the way I'm seeing Facebook, some people will say, I keep these pictures for memory taking. Facebook can block you tomorrow and block all your pictures away. So why is it that the only languages that Africa understands is looting and stealing? Why is it that with all our brain, we can't have African Facebook? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Olumuyiwa. Thank you very much for calling us. Let's hear from our sponsors one more time and then take a few more calls. You're listening to Hard Facts. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
Need to save for a new car, house rent, or your next vacation? Or be financially ready to get yourself a COVID vaccine next year for all?
All right, and our number on air, 0700-993-993-993. We also have 01465-7190. Hello, thank you for calling. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello? 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 Okay. Person's not there. I guess that's my cue to go to WhatsApp and take a look at the messages that we have available on WhatsApp, which is quite a lot. Big tech are becoming more powerful than government. They must be regulated. It happened to Trump and nobody spoke. It will reach everyone if no action is taken now, Francis says. Francis, thank you for your message. Good afternoon, Sandra. For me, Feminist Coalition is the winner here. They're just one unit of young women and entrepreneurs living out their activities to support millions of people living in Nigeria. What more can we ask for? Federal government especially decided to turn their blind eye on Lekki Tollgate because they know it's a big implication for them and their political party. It's no problem, but they must recognize one thing. What happened in Lekki, it wasn't a genocide. Words mean things. That what happened there wasn't a genocide. But since both Lagos State Government, Nigerian Army, Federal Government still feel that they are in charge, the truth will be covered. But no one can cover the judgment day after 2023. Olaide Cruz, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, you won't turn my small Korokpe motor that I am managing. You want them to burn. Oh, Sandra. Sandra, you won't make them burn my small Korokpe motor that I am managing. People with two or more cars can do that. Chooks from Aja says, Chooks, thank you for your message. Sandra, Lekki Ensa's protest did not go south because the people were not united, but because a vindictive government set miscreants on the people, period. All right. Thanks for your message. We've got more messages here. We've got somebody who says, tell Tiwa that insurance companies will insure her car if she's scared. Demola, thank you for your message. Demola wants to sneak in insurance advert there. If you want to sneak in an insurance advert, you have to come and pay me. Eh? Pay me my salary. Huh? All right, let's give you a chance to win on Just a Minute today. Because remember, every day we bring you the different shows and then we create an opportunity for you to participate in Just a Minute. Just a Minute allows you to win 10,000 naira courtesy of Creditville on any other regular day. But sometimes it's just Nigeria Info being very sweet, you know? We're sweet like that. We're awesome like that. Now, the questions I'll be asking come from what we've talked about today. So good luck to everyone and may the best man or woman win. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
My name is Faith.
Have you been listening, Faith?
Yes.
Okay. I hope you have been listening. All right. Your time starts now.
This is Just a Minute.
Has Lagos's daily COVID number gone up or down since last Thursday?
Gone up.
In which country was there a coup earlier this year?
Myanmar.
Which rights group has published a blueprint for sanctions in Myanmar?
Human rights watch.
Myanmar protesters have been obstructing the roads with what?
Cars.
Makhtar Diop is from what African country? Makhtar Diop is from what African country?
Peace.
Diop is now the head of what organization?
WTO.
The three Nigerian women on the Time 100 Next list are members of what group?
Feminist Coalition.
All right, stay on the line so that we can get your details. Let's see if you are our winner today. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions correctly. Let's hope that you got the highest score for the day and therefore you can win. Lagos, I'll be back on Monday. But in the meantime, find me on social media, Sandra Ezekwesili on Twitter, Sandra Ezekwesili on Facebook, Instagram, S Ezekwesili. Those are your hard facts, Lagos. Have yourself a very great weekend.
Hard facts.
Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili is available as a podcast on all streaming platforms. Catch this and previous episodes anytime you want to.